The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
Hello and welcome to The Common Good. It's about 32 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock and you're listening to KFSK Petersburg. And today on The Common Good, I am joined by Becky Turland and Katie Homeland, who have both just completed their Youth Mental Health First Aid Facilitator course. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
Yep.
I'm very proud of myself.
It is a lot.
It's a mouthful.
Yes, a lot to put out there.
So let's start off by just talking about what is Youth Mental Health First Aid?
Youth Mental Health First Aid is basically like your first intervention that you could use for a youth in distress or experiencing a mental health challenge, either in a crisis situation or a non-crisis situation, kind of your first line of defense to get them the support that they need.
So when a young person is having a hard time, just sort of knowing how to respond to that hard time that they're having.
How to recognize it and then how to respond and how to connect them to the resources that are available.
Okay. And you guys got trained to respond and recognize, but more than anything, you got trained to be facilitators to train other people, right?
That is correct. Yeah, mm-hmm. We will be facilitators of the Youth Mental Health First Aid training. So we will be able to share this information with community members who are interested in being mental health first aiders.
This project came from a grant that you wrote and applied for with the Petersburg Community Foundation. Got that award in the spring. Why did you apply for that grant?
Well, I think it started, mental health on all aspects is very, I guess I say it's a passion that a lot of us have in noticing it in our community. The SHARE Coalition had noticed, kind of brought the attention that there's not a lot of focus on mental health in our community. And especially with our youth, it's where we want to go for protective factors and just making sure that we are able to. So the SHARE Coalition kind of came together, and with their support, I wrote a grant underneath Petersburg Medical Center and submitted it, and we were awarded the full amount. I believe that was the first time in history for the Community Foundation awarding the whole full grant, which was great. So thank you, Community Foundation.
And then you mentioned protective factors. Can you explain what those are?
Protective factors are those things that we can do in a youth's lives to kind of counterbalance the adverse childhood experiences that we all actually do face. And so protective factors are like the other end of that, the really good things that we can be doing to support and balance out and create resilient and strong kids.
Can you give some examples of those?
Yeah. Concrete supports in time of need.
What does that mean?
If you need help, I can put you in the right place to get it.
Okay.
Or connect you with that resource. Something that, yeah, this help does exist, and here is how you can access it.
Okay.
Knowledge of development is really important.
So, like, knowing where a kid should be at a particular time and being able to say, like, that kid's got attitude, but that's normal for a 13-year-old.
Yep. And then connection to community is another really powerful one, which I think this training and training others in this way in mental health first aid in itself helps create that community, in the sense that our community is a safe place to reach out to if you need help.
Mm-hmm.
So. Sense of belonging for the youth, knowing that there's somebody there that cares for them and that there will always be somebody you can turn to is a big protective factor, making sure that, you know, there is a safe person that they're able to identify as well.
Is that something that you addressed in this mental health first aid training? I'm curious how you could facilitate that for kids.
Well, the training is for adults to recognize and be able to do this. So it's kind of training adults on what to look for in children and how you can be, I want to say, safe space for them. You can be that person that they're able to go to and turn to, be able to approach the situation with the correct terminology. We're not, you know, putting any person down for their mental health challenges they might have going on, but be able to speak with them and be able to make them feel, you know, that they're being heard unjudgmentally is a huge one.
Mm-hmm. And so when you are teaching people, when you're facilitating this training in the community, and you have a training scheduled already, right?
Yeah, I think we're comfortable saying our first community training event will be on Saturday, December 2nd.
Okay. And anybody can join?
Yep.
Is it open? Okay. And maybe we'll get information at the end of the show about how people can reach out. So what is that training going to look like? If I were to show up and get that training, what would I be learning about?
It is, first off, do have to put it out there, it is a full 8-hour day training. We'll come in, we'll do a little bit of introductions with each other. We will start with learning some of the mental health challenges, terminology. There will be a lunch break that is going to provide an actual lunch for everybody. We will go into some scenarios where we will move around the room and physically do things with each other and interact. So we're trying to keep it, I would say, more engaging than sitting there, us talking to you.
You wouldn't be talked at for a full 8 hours.
No.
So there's some sort of role play in the afternoon where people can practice that first aid.
I don't think either of us could talk for a solid 8 hours. So we definitely are going to rely on our community. Yeah, Katie might be able to.
This training also does follow an acronym. It's like a 5-step kind of framework, the LG framework. Mm-hmm. And so we get to walk through what all of those steps look like in this kind of nonlinear process of being there to support someone experiencing a mental health crisis or challenge.
Mm-hmm. And it is an evidence-based program curriculum that we're using. So we're not just pulling something out of our pocket saying, let's go with this. It is an evidence-based curriculum that we're following.
That being said, too, I think it's really important to, like, put it out there. Like, as a mental health first aider, we absolutely are not diagnosing. Like, there's still professionals that will be doing that part of the work, but our job is to be there to respond and make sure that we are supporting kids and youth and pointing them kind of in the right direction and connecting them to that.
Okay, so it's not taking the place of anything. It's
no.
A little bit like EMS versus doctors.
I was
doctors.
Just going to say that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
We arrive on the ambulance. We're not there to diagnose anything. We could say, ooh, that might look like it, but we're not diagnosing there.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing as a mental health first aider.
Okay. Do you think that Petersburg has a particular need for mental health first aid, or is this a case of there being the opportunity to give Petersburg this training, but it's part of a bigger picture?
I think nationally it is needed. There is a big shortage of behavioral health providers, clinicians, counselors, however you want to term them, and Petersburg is no different. We have a few actual licensed therapists. And it is something that I think everybody needs. It has been identified. It was identified a while ago, and even more so, I think we're noticing it. We are coming together with the SHARE Coalition and some of the school crisis team that has been identified previously, and we are starting the talk on mental health in our community, what we can do to help support people with the lack of professionals that we have. I mean, we have some great ones here in town, but we do not have enough of them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good point, too. We all have mental health.
Yes.
You wake up every day, you have mental health. It's just where it falls along that continuum or that spectrum each day. So it applies to all of us. And so the more resources we have available, the stronger our community really can be and will be.
And I think kind of saying that, it is youth-focused, but is definitely something that we could utilize with adults. We have not got trained for adult mental health first aid yet, but a lot of the key components can be transferred over.
Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about youth mental health first aid, but I was wondering if you have the specifics on the goals of this program, sort of the more specific outcomes of the program.
I think a goal of training more individuals within our community to become trained as mental health first aiders for youth mental health first aiders would be creating those spaces where we're reducing the stigma around mental health challenges and opening up that door for conversations.
I think it will also, my intake and goal is to also increase the confidence for us adults to be able to help in the time of need of a youth when they're in a mental health crisis.
Mm, that's interesting. I would love to talk about that a little bit because I feel like it's pretty common for people in general just not to know what to do with somebody who is having a tough time. Mm-hmm. And it seems, this is purely my own perspective, but it seems more loaded and a little bit more scary when it's a kid. So this is meant to empower people to feel less intimidated by that.
Exactly. I think if you have a youth experiencing a mental health crisis, especially when we're at crisis level, that conversation's going to be hard, but it's also going to be really hard if you do not have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And hopefully with this training, more adults will be willing to lean into those hard conversations because it's not going to be easy either way. But hopefully at the end of the day, we still have that one young person.
And then that's right now, this last week, we just did signs of suicide at the school with the high schoolers. And that was a topic that came up, is practicing or knowing what to say or thinking about it before you're in the situation, before it happens, gives you the more tools and able to handle that situation better. Because when we're frantic, my brain doesn't work. I mean, I'm sitting here with you guys, and right now it's kind of hard to think what to say. But if I were to practice ahead of time, so that's kind of what we're doing with youth mental health first aid.
Yeah.
We're going over some of the key points, some of the ways that you could address the situation, and just to give you some tools. There's no right or wrong way. Yes, there is some wrong ways of saying stuff, but it's more so asking the questions, getting there, and showing that you are a support for that youth that is going through the struggle at the time.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the really cool thing, too. We're hoping to have at least 3 of these community trainings, and the more adults within our community, the stronger that safety net is. So if I'm not able to reach out to a youth about a situation they're experiencing, maybe I can reach out to Becky and say, hey, could you check in on so-and-so? Or we'll have this like beautiful network of people that we can reach out to and make sure our kids are supported.
Do you have examples of how you can talk to kids? I understand that the situations would all be different, but do you have examples of a thing that you could say to a kid if you know they're having a really hard time that would maybe start the conversation?
I think noticing youth is a really huge part of this, having relationships with them, because then you are noticing, and that's part of this too. Like, kids want to be noticed. And so being able to recognize, hey, you've missed basketball practice the last few nights. Everything okay? Or, hey, I notice you're not playing with so-and-so out at recess anymore. I just want to check in. How are you feeling about that? And just opening up the conversation in that way. I've found with my own work, too, kids don't really always appreciate that, like, face-to-face conversation. But, man, will they open up to you when you're walking down a trail together or fishing side-by-side.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a human activities.
Thing. Yeah, you know, let's sit and draw. Tell me about your day. What's going on? Tell me about how you're feeling, and just opening the door for them to tell you what is going on. And maybe they're not ready to. And that's just then reassuring them, hey, if you want to talk, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And then actually being there.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the hard part coming as a parent to this, is like, you want to hound them and get that answer from them. But if they're not ready to talk, it's going to make the situation harder for the youth to open up when they are ready.
Mm.
So just saying that you're there, you're willing to listen. Hey, I notice, you know, putting it on to them as a person-centered area. We're not, you know, putting them down. Just, hey, I noticed that something's going on. Do you want to talk about it? Mm. Like Katie said, and if not, well, I am here. Mm-hmm. When you are ready. But I know for as a parent, it has been hard sometimes. I just went through it last week with one of my girls. Like, okay, don't push. Training said don't push them, so let's just wait. And of course, a couple hours later, she came around and opened up. So
yeah.
I think mental health first aid training also comes, being a mental health first aider comes with a level of vulnerability as well, because you have to put away so much of your own baggage and judgments and just be there.
We're in a judgmental society, and that's hard to do.
And even, I've shared this story before, but even before I first got certified in mental health first aid training, I had signed up for the course, and on day one, rule number one is don't diagnose yourself. And of course, that's what I did right away. And I realized I wasn't in a space where I could take that training. I could not be a mental health first aider. And, you know, it was a phone call to Jay and making sure that I got the help I needed first before I put myself in that situation.
You mean because you felt too vulnerable to be able to talk about all the things in the training?
Yeah. All of a sudden I realized, wow, I'm not in a good place. I can't support others unless I feel like I have taken care of the things that I need to take care of in my own life and be supported in that way.
So you had to call your therapist and then come back for the training later.
Yep. I signed up for the training like 3 or 4 months later. I'm really glad I did. It is probably one of the most impactful trainings that I've ever taken part in. And it's because it saves lives. And that's the easiest way to say it.
So we've kind of danced around, we've mentioned the idea of the stigma that can be associated with mental health. How do you think that stigma affects the ability to address these mental health concerns?
The more stigma there is out there, the less likely somebody's going to come out and talk about it. And if we reduce the stigma, reduce the barriers, the more information and conversations we have about it, more people are going to seek the help that's needed and that is out there. So I think this is a huge part also, is bringing attention that mental health, as Katie started off with, we all have mental health. We all have good days, we all have bad days, and we need to address that and break the stigma of that if you are having a struggle, that is really bad. So I don't, Katie, do you have any on that subject? I probably cut you off.
No, you didn't. You said exactly what I was going to say. I think there's more of us in Petersburg here locally that have had mental health struggles, mental health crisis, and because we don't always talk about it, sometimes it's an isolating feeling, especially if you're a youth, right? You don't have as much experience in the world. Mm-hmm. You don't know what network to go to, really. You don't always want to talk to your friends about how you're feeling. But we're all out here just getting through our days at times. And yeah, we can be here to support one another. And I think that's kind of the really cool part of mental health in general, mental well-being, is it's like this very like personal thing, but it has such an incredible ripple effect for our community. Because the more mental wellness I have, the more I can share with you and kids, and I can be that person that others can come to when they need it, or vice versa. I can go to someone else that I know I can support me. So the more of us that are mentally well in our town and willing to talk about it and have these hard conversations, the better off we all are.
Mm-hmm. That makes me think of, I talked to Trevor Storrs of the Alaska Children's Trust, the nonprofit that is giving the award to Jamie Cabral next week. And he was talking about how helping create protective factors for children and in helping to prevent child abuse and neglect, one of the things that they really focus on is decreasing the stress and improving the mental health of adults, because mm-hmm. he likened it to a rubber band. The more stretched you are, the harder it is to provide and treat your children well. And so, you know, that made me think of that ripple effect, where the more taken care of you are yourself, the better you are going to be at taking care of others and noticing what's going on with others.
I think that's also the wonderful thing about potentially having a whole bunch of us certified in mental health first aid, is we can recognize when someone else is struggling and we can help take some of that on. You know, I do it every day at Kinderskog. You know, it's like, hey, I can be here. I can fill this role right now and meet your child's needs so that you can meet your own needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were talking about how everybody has mental health, and sometimes it could be isolating to not recognize that other people are going through the same thing. And that made me think about how, you know, when you're a kid, you maybe haven't realized that your experience isn't totally unique. You know, as adults, it's a lot easier to say, okay, I understand that a lot of people have probably been through this. But I remember being a kid and just not even realizing that there was any other person in the world who was going through the things I was going through.
Social media and the connection to internet has been a huge impact on mental health. We see stuff on social media. It's always the good stuff. We don't see people's, you know, when they're having struggles and problems. Mm-hmm. So I know that is a small little area that we will touch base on there.
We'll also talk about adolescent development, which I think plays into some of this. Like, their adolescents' brains are very narcissistic at times, whether they want to be or not. And that's just where they are. They're little egomaniacs, and they worry about their selves, and sometimes it's hard for them to step out of that. But it's also normal. Like, that's a totally normal thing, is they're kind of these self-absorbed creatures, because they should be. They're learning about what their own world is like and how to navigate it. So that's where having a little bit of that knowledge about adolescent development, as a first aider, you can step in and know, okay, this is typical. This is how I'm going to use that to get my message across.
Okay. Who would you recommend attends this first aid training?
Everybody.
I agree with Becky. Everyone should. It is geared towards working with youth between the ages of 12 and 18. That being said, I've definitely used my skill set with adults. Mm-hmm. I use it on the daily. I mean, because, well, mental health is a daily thing, so I use it every day. Coaches,
anybody,
teachers, parents.
Anybody that has any interactions with children in any sort of way would benefit mm-hmm. from it. Even
Absolutely.
If you don't have kids yourself, or you're not a coach, you're not highly involved, but say it's your friend, it has lots of kids that you're around. So any community member, grandparents, parents, guardians, school officials, coaches of any sort, activity director, that makes it sound one person, but anybody that is doing any activities with youth, yep. anything that, if you have any sort of interactions at all with kids, it's worth doing. And as Katie said, it might be geared towards youth, but it's stuff that you can take and utilize with adults as well. And we all know that we need to also support our adults in our community.
Mm. And the more of us, the better, because you never know who it will be that notices the red flag.
Mm-hmm. What's the age range when you say youth?
This particular youth mental health first aid is geared towards the 12 to 18-year-old, okay. like people working with that age group. That being said, the National Council is coming out with a teen course, which we're really excited about.
They do have the teen course
Yeah,
now,
we need to
but
get
it's specific,
we gotta get certified.
And we have to have a site in our community that can actually be yeah. certified for it. But so we can yeah. also get teens trained in this so they can recognize it in themselves, which we are doing a lot of work with our youth in the school system, especially the secondary school. So that is neat to see. It is something that when I was doing the different kind of looking into this, the research of what we were going to do, I did notice that teens, something I'd really like to do.
Yeah.
And it, as you know, it is, you know, geared tight 12 to 18 for, you know, that age range, but it's definitely things that we can utilize for younger kids as well.
Okay.
Yeah, when we go back to that acronym too, like those are things that you use almost daily, like listening non-judgmentally and giving reassurance, like those are daily skills.
Mm-hmm.
So just having another opportunity to practice them and use them in a different way.
Yeah.
And I got to say, though, I mean, kind of going back to that, we're giving our school and focusing a lot with the school. It is time to get our community on board and having mm-hmm. our community back, all these mental health areas as well.
Yeah.
Initiatives that we have going on. So the more people we have, the better.
Well, and that makes me think about, you know, we don't know the specifics about the school threats that were made this fall, but I'm curious whether you think this training could help people recognize youth who might be reaching a crisis point, even if they're not working in the schools.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Parents, guardians, they might be able to notice that before. I mean, other kids, just being able to recognize it is huge. And I think it would be beneficial to our community completely, all the way around, at the school system, any of faith-based communities, anything around there, just be able to recognize when a teen is going through something or a youth is going through a situation and be able to help them before it hits that crisis point, before we have to hit the panic button, not everybody else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if folks are interested in participating, how can they sign up?
They can email me. My email address is the letter K, Homeland, at pmc-health.org. And I'll be advertising it here soon for the training. They can call me at 907-531-5913.
And if you see us out in the community, just let us know. We'll make sure you are down on the list. Katie and I are out there in the community quite often, so flag us down if you don't remember the specifics, and we will get you on our list.
Yeah, okay. We'll make sure there's flyers around town, and there'll be some ads in the newspaper and social media as well.
We're only able to do 30 at a time, so if we get more, we'll keep a list and keep plugging away.
30 people per class.
And if we can do more than 3 classes, that would be great.
Yeah, let's do it.
That was our goal, and hopefully we'll achieve that by May.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in.
And can I just say one more shout out to the Community Foundation? Yeah. Again, Petersburg Community Foundation, thank you for the grant.
Yeah, it's really exciting. They're always doing such great things for our community, and this one is a game changer, I think.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.